Welcome to Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman, where the discussion is about the challenges and opportunities that people face when communicating with the opposite gender. Brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now here's your host, Judy Hoberman.
Good afternoon and welcome to Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio. You know, it's always interesting to me that no matter where I am or what I'm doing, a conversation always turns to women in business, the good, the bad, and the not so great. Now, people ask me why I think women are where they are in business, and I naturally talk about what we bring to the table, what qualities we have that make us amazing in business and in personal as well, and what drives us towards happiness and fulfillment. Well, those are some big topics to talk about, and I think we have ideas for a few future shows. But today we're going to dive into one, maybe touch on a few of the others, and talk about those inherent female qualities that women have that make us stand out in business. In other words, what makes us a great partner to have in business? Now, we all know that running a household is like running a company. It requires planning and delegating and conflict management and negotiating and project management. Women are master multitaskers. They value the relationships they build, and more often than not, they love to collaborate. Women invest in themselves to become better at what they do and ask a lot of questions to continue that quest. Now, they want to bring value to their audience, whether it's a peer or a manager, a coworker, or their target market. And they want to be taken seriously and want to make sure that they provide the correct information, and they need to have the entire story and all the details to do that. Successful women truly believe they can influence their own advancement by serving others. They know the difference between being a leader and a manager. They work harder to provide those value and exceed the expectations that others set for them as well as the ones that they set for themselves. And for them, doing more with less is simply a matter of knowing how to strategically motivate those around them. And isn't that another example of taking your household down a positive path? I want to give you some ideas and some ways that women use what comes naturally to boost their business success. First of all, women communicate well. If you look at the results on any of the written tests and the oral test, women outscore men. They ask great questions, and most of the time they're open-ended, so it brings the person that they're talking to into the conversation. It's the best way to begin a relationship. Also, they're natural-born networkers and team builders. They collaborate and try to see how they can help others with a solution that's created through a conversation. Now, we all know that women don't like to leave anyone out, so inclusion is definitely a strength that we have, and it's a tremendous asset. When you build strategic partners and being a great connector, that adds to the success of your business. Collaboration with others makes those partnerships even stronger. And many women have their own personal board of directors who will advise them, make suggestions, and are great sounding boards. And rest assured, their board doesn't only have women. They do not exclude men. We also have a sixth sense that we call intuition. Now, women will pick up subtle messages that men probably won't. They listen with their eyes and their ears and are in tune with the situation, and they listen beyond words. They can tell in a matter of moments who they want to do business with and who they don't, and generally, they're not wrong. And women create an image of success. So dressing professionally and creating a strong but feminine image will attract people to do business with you. And skin does not scream power, and most men are uncomfortable when a woman chooses to dress for them, if you get the drift. And you only get one chance to make a good impression, and women are doing just that. Now, let's make sure that we understand that being successful in today's workplace or as an entrepreneur does not mean that women need to behave like men or become men. Men have a proven track record of being successful in the work environment. And I'm here to talk about the differences and some of those different traits that women have that will give them some of the advantages in today's space. Remember, these few characteristics about women, and you'll see how they stand out. If you just think about them, you're going to see how it all plays together. So remember that women put high value on the importance of relationships, and they do their best to build great relationships both in the short term and into the long term. They also share their personal experiences with others to show their strengths and their ability to run their own corporations, called home. Women work in circles and will collaborate rather than working from a triangle with someone at the top. Now, a Forbes article entitled The 10 Qualities That Make a Great Leader lists commitment, honesty, good communication, intuition, and creativity as key attributes of an honest and effective leader. And as we've just discussed, women are leading the way with those qualities. Now, we also know that women have some characteristics, and not all men are lacking in those areas, but studies have shown that at the time when women are still the major caretakers at home and are now 50% of the workforce, women are standing out as the more effective leaders and business owners. So let's scoot on over to women entrepreneurs for a moment and see what they have going on that help them reach their success. Now, we all need luck, and sometimes we believe that some of us are luckier than others. But the truth of the matter is, it's not just luck that helps those uber-successful women entrepreneurs reach their goals. It's a combination of the following. Their drive. For entrepreneurs, failure is not an option. Everything that happens is a lesson learned, and having your goals in front of you will guide you around those speed bumps. They also have vision. The female entrepreneur is a big-picture person. She not only creates and develops the product, she already has it flying out the door. She has the vision and stays within those lines to a certain extent. They're also intuitive, like I said before. The woman entrepreneur trusts her instincts about her product or service, the market, and her business management skills. She feels, sees, and knows where she needs to be in the market space. She knows her competitors, and more importantly, she knows her market. She uses her intuition to know where to go and when to turn around. She's distinctive. People remember this woman. There's nothing ordinary about her or her company, whether it's the name, the product, the service she offers, or the follow-up she gives. She's someone you want to do business with. And if you ask her, she'll tell you she doesn't do anything special. She's a risk taker, and you have to be if you're going to make it in an entrepreneurial world. She counts on herself to make things happen and relies on her team for the support she needs. And she's a planner. The entrepreneurial woman has to be a planner. She writes everything down and she follows it. Her goals are always right in front of her, as so is her mission and her vision statement. Now, we all know that entrepreneurs are shiny object people, so she has to take some of her time to read and reread her plan. And when faced with too many ideas, she'll rely on her plan to keep her on the straight and narrow. And I thought this would be a great place to talk about my strategic triangle. And I've talked about it before, and let me just say that people follow it once I tell them this. But be careful how you use it, because it's caused more than one person to rethink their newest venture, and it's been used on me, and I had to acknowledge that, receive it, and let them go with it. So here it is. I have a tendency to be distracted by shiny objects, or to be more accurate, shiny business opportunities. As an entrepreneur, staying focused is critical. Now, my gut always tells me when I've gone astray, and you know the feeling you get when you go against your instincts. If I agree to do something that may not be part of my true niche, my stomach reacts, a clear signal that I'm not focused on my primary target. So to ensure that I don't succumb to any of those temptations in the future, my business coach led me through a strategy session in which we defined what I was, quote-unquote, allowed to do in my business, and that's my strategic triangle. Now remember, a triangle has three angles, not five, not eight, not 12. So the rule is that anything I do in my business has to fit in one of those angles. My triangle is speaking, coaching, and training. If an opportunity comes along that doesn't fit into one of those categories, I cannot do it. However, if I see something that is amazing and I want to add to it, I have to eliminate something else. So you see how it works? It's three. It's all about the planning and the carrying out of the plan. Now, when we come back, we're going to meet our first guest who helps women see what she sees in them, creates a plan to help them build their business, and keeps them focused. This is Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio, and we will be right back.
Are you feeling burnt out or lost on where to go or what to do next when it comes to your business? If you feel like you own a job instead of a business, or if your business is running you instead of you running it, we can help. The Thrive Business Center was created to educate and support small business owners. With a strategic approach and a proven method, we'll help you identify what is working well in your business and what is not. Then, together, we can establish an action plan with an implementation process so that your business can get back to thriving. For more information, go to ThriveBusinessCenter.com. ThriveBusinessCenter.com.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location. Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio media where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
Join Judy Hoberman on her radio show, Selling in a Skirt, Mondays at noon central, for exciting discussions about challenges for women in today's society. The talk is about women in business, work and life balance, leadership, and current events related to gender communication. Be prepared to be inspired, motivated, and challenged. Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on the Tough Talk Radio Network is your connection to women nationally, internationally, and globally. So get comfy and see what the buzz is all about. Listen live on Mondays at noon by going to sellinginaskirtwithjudyhoberman.com.
Welcome back to Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio. Now, my first guest is Melinda Cooper. Melinda worked over 18 years for a very large government agency in various positions, such as employee labor relations specialist, paralegal for the regional law office, and congressional liaison. She has a BA from the University of Texas at Dallas in government and politics. She's the mom of two adult children, and she's also a wife. She started her first business in fashion for children and teens at the age of 16 until she sold it to a national clothing chain owned by Merry-Go-Round Enterprises. She's been in various businesses while working her career with a government agency until 2008 when she walked away to live her dream. Melinda is now living her dreams, building businesses, and helping others to do the same. She's the owner of Melinda Living the Dream of Consulting Business, co-founder of Ushine Media, a photography business specializing in motivational, inspirational speakers, and co-founder of You Are On Stage, a brand new startup booking agent business. Melinda is a firm believer of helping others reach their dreams and work with them to grow their business. And she's got lots of new stuff coming up. So welcome to the show, Melinda. It's going to be so much fun having you here.
Oh, Judy, thank you so much. It's an honor to be here.
Awesome. Okay, so I want to start with your opinion about what do women bring to the table that makes them successful in business? And you work with a lot of women. So what do you think they bring to the table?
You know, one of the things I really want to think is if I had to put them in order, it would definitely be with focus. Once they have a thought in their mind, they are able to focus better at each individual item that they need. When they see the platform is, okay, I will need, an example being, I'll need a radio show. Then they focus to see everything they need in that. Then they get that going. Then they move on to the next thing. It's like a very large puzzle that they focus on the little different colors that they need to put the puzzle together. And for me, that's one of the biggest things I've noticed.
Okay, so let me ask you a question. So do you think that women can get by just using what they, you know, what they have, what comes naturally, or do you think they need to be trained or have a team or what?
Yes and yes. I think that there are a lot of women out there who do get by, but I've noticed that the truly successful women take what they naturally have, get the training, get the polish, and then they become further up the ladder, shall we call it. So in a way, it's both. I think that they really do work at it a lot easier.
Okay, so one of the things that I know you believe is that women devalue the skills that they have, that they already have. Why do you think we do that?
You know, so many times people begin to take for granted what we do have. One of the biggest things is that I always laugh because as a child I did not learn how to actually speak Spanish. It was not a practice in my house. Yet nowadays that I do speak Spanish, I am bilingual, so when people hear me speak Spanish, they're like, you speak great Spanish, and immediately I say, oh no, that's not real Spanish. Well, if I compare myself to others who only speak Spanish, yes, my Spanish is very lame. Where if I looked at the fact that I actually just speak Spanish for when I need it and I'm able to still utilize it as one of my ace in the holes, it's indeed a good value for me. And I think that a lot of women are out there. They've been doing something for so long to innate to them that they forget that not everyone else can do that.
And that's true.
They devalue it. I mean, before you know it, they're like, you know, a lady who's great with figures, great with numbers, great with standing in front of people, the way they speak and connect to people. They've done it so long that they feel like, oh, well, that's just nothing. But it's something to someone who doesn't have that talent.
Well, you can even go one step further when somebody gives you a compliment and you say, oh, you know, I love your boots or I love your dress. And the natural response is, oh, this thing, okay, I didn't pay a lot of money for it. I got it on sale or whatever. They don't take it and say, thank you so much, because that's
right.
Not how we were brought up. We were brought up, you know, to just make everything less than it really is. So, I have to agree with you on that.
Yeah, you know, I just find that it's so many women, not all, but so many women have learned to step back out of the spotlight in order to allow someone else to shine, that they devalue themselves.
Why do you think that is? Do you think we're afraid of succeeding or afraid of failure, afraid of not looking amazing? Well, why do you think we do that?
I think if I had to put my finger into one pot, I would clearly say that they are afraid to leave other people behind.
Mm. Okay.
You know, they're a community. And if one is shining, somebody else isn't shining. Where
what?
If they would recognize that everyone can shine together and it'll be okay.
Yeah, and that's actually one of the things when I was talking in the beginning about circles and triangles. I believe that women are like circles. They collaborate,
yes.
They work in circles. And so if there's a job to get done, if I finish my piece of it, I'm going to make sure you finish yours. Where men generally work in triangles and someone's on the top and says, you do this and you do this, and when you're done, you can leave. So, yeah, I think that has a lot to do with it.
I absolutely agree with you, yes.
Okay. So I know you're a serial entrepreneur and you've been doing it for, you know, a long time. What keeps you going and what makes you successful?
You know, one of the biggest things, one of my brothers, I have multiples, but one specifically asked me, he says, why do you do this? And I told him, I said, I love the new challenge, but for me, it's the great look on the people that I help or the people that I work with, when I see the look in their eyes and they say, wow, it worked. That's success.
Mm-hmm.
And when I can see it in their eyes and I can feel it in their hearts and I can, you know, the whole, you understand what I'm talking about. It's the excitement that comes with allowing somebody else to achieve it, and you've been just a little piece of it, it makes it wonderful. I think it's just reaching up to the skies with them to stand there and applaud and see them as happy as they can be.
Well, you do know that entrepreneurs are these shiny object people, and a lot of them like the startup phase of it. They want to start things, and once it gets going, they're on to the next piece. But you don't necessarily leave. You just continue. You just start another one in, you know, simultaneously, and get things going.
That's right. I do not leave. And the reason I don't is because if there's ever a time when either one they feel like they're stuck, then I jump back in and say, okay, let's you know, kickstart this again. If this is still what you want, you know, let's strategize. Let's see where the pole fell. And let's pick it back up and go again. Because, you know, we're all going to fall. As entrepreneurs, we go through trials and errors.
Mm-hmm.
We go through, oh, my gosh, that didn't work. What do I do now? The disappointments, the discouragement. And when you go through that, I believe that your team is the one who says, you know what? Wow, that was an interesting experiment. Let's try something new. And that's the part where I believe that by keeping my hand in it, I'm able to come back in and say, wow, that was an interesting experiment. How can we fix it? Let's see what we need to tweak and go back at it.
Well, sometimes the problem is that you might have a great idea, but you're not able to monetize it. So how are some of the ways that people can learn how to monetize their business?
You know, one of the things I give them always is I always ask them to begin, before we even start, Judy, you know, with the wonderful book that you put together, the, you know, 26 pure, you know, the pure wealth is 26 ways to profitability, crazy profitability, is one of the things I always tell people is, first off, you have to know why you want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And if it falls into the hobby category, you're not going to monetize that. It needs to stay over there in the hobby situation and just do it when you like and stop getting frustrated when you don't get paid for it. On the other hand, if you have a good reason why you're doing it and you're ready to do it, now we're talking about something that we need to put a value on it. And let's take some real steps about finding out how many people are really searching for that same thing. How many people are earnestly would pay for that if it was available.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go through a Google search and through a whole process of finding out, is that something people would really pay for?
Right. And even though we think it's fantastic, there are times when people don't need it, don't want it, won't pay for it. So
okay.
So you opened up the door, because that was going to be my next thing about the book that we wrote together with 24 other women. And
yes,
it is Pure Wealth, 26 Ways to Crazy Profitability. So I want you to tell our listeners about the experience of first writing a book and why you chose to write the chapter you wrote.
You know, and Julia, I'm going to tell you, I really hadn't ever thought of writing a book because I had just kind of thought, you know, here I am already. I'm one of the women who say, who's going to listen to what I have to say? You know, besides the people that I coach, who else would be listening? You know, who else going to look for Melinda Cooper out there? So the idea of writing it was, first off, was an honor. And then I met all the women and saw who they were. Then I was like, wow, I'm with them. It was tremendous. And everyone just pulled together and created a whole new atmosphere, almost a new universe, becoming one. And that was a tremendous support, and still is. I'm still talking to the women in the book, right? And so that's really excellent. And then when I realized I, too, had been one of these women who had a hobby, my hobby had been helping other women live their dreams. And so people would call me and say, Melinda, I know you did this. Could you help me with this? This is what I'm trying to build. Oh, yes, I've got that experience. Here you go. And then finally, my brother-in-law told me. He says, you're accumulating people, Melinda. He says, not that I care. You know, it's up to you. But is this a hobby or is this a business? And I went, well. And he says, yeah, because if you're doing all this work and you're not getting paid for it, it's a hobby, and maybe it's too expensive.
Hmm.
And I thought, how dare he? I really did. I was very frustrated with him. And I even told him, I said, you know, you're a guest in my house. what? Who are you to tell me? And he says, Melinda, I have seen you be a successful woman any career that you have gone into. What are you doing now? You're giving it all away of what you have worked for all your life. And when he said that, it made me think. And it took me about a month to not be aggravated with him and get myself together and get my LLC and get my license. You know, all of a sudden I was like, okay. And when I did that, I realized that I was then doing my clients, the people I work with, a better service, because I could tell them, you know what, you're giving it away, and it's really of value.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And you know, it's interesting because when I do a training, I always include like a follow-up a month later. And inevitably, when I do a follow-up, the person in charge always walks up, and it's included, and it's in the contract. They always walk up to me and say, you shouldn't give it away for free. It's too valuable. And most of them send me a check. Because
yes,
they say when you give it away, it doesn't have as much value, and you shouldn't be giving things away. With that said, though, we all know, and you know this, that if somebody's just starting out or somebody, you know, just graduated college, you do sit down and you do help them. But you have to remember your business is a for-profit company. It's not a not-for-profit.
That's correct. That's correct. While we want to extend, my mother told me one time, and I learned it, you know, we were in the first business together, and here I was, and I was like, oh, those kids love those designs. Go ahead. And she's like, no, you've been working on those designs. You're doing the initial sewing. You've done the whole bit. What are you doing? Giving it away. And so my mother told me, she says, just because you reach your hand out mean they have to step on it.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
And I thought, how interesting. And that has come back to me all these years later. You know, just because I'm reaching my hand out and willing to help you does not mean I give you the right to step on it and take it for granted or to devalue it. It is
Absolutely.
Still my hand.
Absolutely.
Right.
Okay. Now, I know you have some exciting news about a new venture coming out in about a month, and it's called Living the Dream Digital Magazine. Can you share with
yes.
us what this is, what it's going to be, and some amazing things you want to tell us?
Oh, I got to tell you, I am so excited. I have been, again, here we go, entrepreneur, right? I saw a need for some certain things. So what I did was collaborated, of course. I pulled several people together. We had a major brainstorm, and what we have done is created Living the Dream magazine, and they are entrepreneurs who are working together to give a startup person, a brand new, you know, entrepreneur, what are some of the things that I can at least get my name out there, or at least what kind of steps do I need? And so we've all built together, okay, if you were starting scratch again, what would your first steps be for them? And so what we're doing is on a monthly issue, we're going to be providing these steps for people who are interested in going out there and say, wow, you know, I've got Patty Farmer for our social media expert. She's mm-hmm. going to be out there, and she's going to give people some ideas. And you know what, you want to start a business, you're going to need social media. So you might as well learn the rules and play with the rest of us, right? We have a lady that's an expert in monetizing, and we take them to there, and we're saying, okay, this is where we're going next. And, you know, just down the road, just further down the road, and we take them to a little bit more, those who have, maybe they've been in the business for 6 months to a year, and they're like, I'm ready to go to the next step, and I don't know what it is. I even have an attorney who will be talking about how you set up your LLCs, what are the benefits, what's the negative, what kind of steps do you need, how do you organize that. So we have a lot of different arenas coming out. Nancy Camden and Marion LaSalle are coming out with a brand new business. They just put out their first podcast, and it's called Tools, Tips, and Technology. And they're coming out to help the newbies and whoever else could use the help on all the new technology out there that could help your business to bloom and grow.
Well, that's very exciting. Now, I know your website is not ready yet. I know it's not. But where can our listeners connect with you now? And, you know, once it's going to be out there and the website is working, I'm sure you'll update everybody. But where can they connect with you? Because you know that there's going to be people that want to stay in touch and figure out how things work and know more about you.
Well, thank you. Right now, I'm just sending everyone to Facebook. I'm transitioning all the different businesses. You know, this is where I'm going back into the shadows with the other ones and stepping forward with this one. So I'm just telling people, join me, Melinda Cooper, out on Facebook. I'd love to hear from everyone. Judy, you're tremendous. I always like seeing you on my Facebook. And just, you know, it's just, you know, tremendous to be able to support and connect with people and find out what everyone's doing together.
Well, I appreciate that. And you got time for one last little tip. What do you want to leave our listeners with today?
If I could leave everyone with one thought, it would clearly be listen to your inside and know that the reason you're doing it is because what's coming from your heart and not just other people telling you, wow, that's a good idea.
Awesome. Well, Miss Melinda, thank you so much for being on the show, and I know you had fun with me being your Katharine Hepburn for the last half hour. So
yes, I do. You know, you are. I told you immediately. You are just stuck with being a classy lady. That's it.
I'll take that stuckness, no problem. You've got so much going on, and I can't wait to keep up with you and check in again for your updates. So thank you so much.
Thank you. It was an honor to be here. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. And we're going to take a break to make sure that we thank our sponsors, BDP Consulting, so they know how much we appreciate them. Now, if you're ready to watch your business get some great buzz, just become one of our sponsors. Go to toughtalkradionetwork.com, click on the sponsor tab, and watch your business soar. This is Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio, and we will be right back.
Do you want to know the secret to building a successful business quickly? It's all about taking action. But not just any action. It takes inspired and consistent action to get profits. Join Michelle Sism, the six-figure results lady, as she asks successful entrepreneurs their profitable secrets every Monday at 2 p.m. Central Time on Take Action, Get Profits with Michelle Sism on the Tough Talk Radio Network. If you're ready to take action and get profits, you can find out more about the show at TakeActionGetProfitsRadio.com.
So you think you're tough enough for Tough Talk with Tony Gambone? Tony knows how to dish it out. Can you take it? Tony Gambone is a communicator, mentor, and entrepreneur whose tough style and generous spirit quickly garnered recognition in many a competitive arena. Now he's bringing his intelligence and knowledge to you as a hard-hitting radio talk show host and thought leader. Tune in and see for yourself. Tough Talk with Tony Gambone. It's a sure thing. To find out more, go to Tough Talk with Tony Gambone.
Are you an entrepreneur? Are you where you want to be? Do you believe that if you build it, they will come? Unfortunately, entrepreneurship doesn't work that way, and that's why you need to read Famous Isn't Enough. In this book, you'll find real-life situations and lessons learned. When all is said and done, there's nothing better than being your own boss. Remember, nothing just happens. You have to put in the work. Famous Isn't Enough is your roadmap. Get your copy today at www.famousisn'tenough.com.
Welcome back to Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio. Now, I want to make sure you stay current with us on everything that's going on, our speakers, our guests, our events, everything. So go ahead and like us on Facebook at Selling in a Skirt and Tough Talk Radio. Become one of my friends on Facebook at Judy Hoberman. And, of course, follow me on Twitter at Selling in a Skirt. Remember, stay connected. It gives you access to success and profitability. Now, are you ready for our second guest? Because I certainly am. Becky Smith, who has found success building and motivating successful project teams and working with corporate and business leaders to solve their unique challenges, is our next guest. She's learned to ask good questions and listen intently to solve their issues in order to develop solutions to fit their needs. She became known for challenging her team members to accomplish even more than they thought they could. Becky has an intuitive ability. See, we're talking about all these wonderful characteristics, and we're just confirming them now. She has the intuitive ability to see the uniqueness in every individual and has learned to create the environment where her teams will succeed. She translates her experience and strengths into breakthrough results for her clients and their teams. Becky's helped business owners achieve more revenue and less stress while improving work-life balance. And while working as a business coach, Becky discovered that her true passion is teaching workshops, conducting business leader roundtables, leading mastermind groups, and facilitating leadership teams. This passion forms the foundation of her current business, where she helps business leaders and their teams create breakthrough results. Becky is the author of an article published on CNBC.com entitled, Don't Promote Employees Just to Fire Them, and contributing author to Share Your Message with the World. Today, with her signature Accelerate Impact Team Breakthrough process, Becky helps her clients become the inspiring and successful leaders they're meant to be and helps their teams deliver breakthrough results. So welcome to the show, Becky. I was afraid we'd run out of time if I gave all your accolades.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it, Judy. You make me sound really good.
Don't you love that? I love when people read about it. So we're going to start our time together with a question about women entrepreneurs. What do you think women bring to the table that makes them stand out to be successful?
I think women bring a special touch to business where men are
hard driving, competitive, you know, run over people trying to, for the most part, get what they're looking for, and are very driven by money and success. I think women are more driven to help people, and in that respect, I think they are able to bring more success to their business because they're focused on other people more than themselves.
Okay, so they really like to build the relationships as well.
Absolutely. Relationships are the key.
Okay. Well, I was snooping around on your website, and it says, "Let us open the door to become the passionate and purpose-driven leader you were born to be." What is a purpose-driven leader?
Well, what I found when I had my business coaching business was that I was really driven to those entrepreneurs who believed in something greater than themselves, who were really out trying to change the world in some way. For example, I worked with some personal trainers, and you know, one of them was really driven by, well, I just want to get more people in the door and make money. And those people didn't really inspire me to help them that much. Whereas on the other hand, I worked with another entrepreneur who was really driven to make people better people and driving their community to be more healthy and more fit. And their needs and their goals were much bigger than themselves, if that makes sense. And so those are what I call the purpose-driven entrepreneurs or the purpose-driven business people, where they're really after a bigger purpose than just making money.
Okay, and you know, a lot of times when you ask a group of women what motivates you, 9.5 times out of 10, it's not money first. They want the recognition, that, you know, they want to bring value. And I always tell people that if you do it for the right reason, if you're going after recognition, if you're going after bringing value, the byproduct is money anyway. So you're going to get it just by doing the right thing. So
money is a result, not a value.
Absolutely. So can people learn how to be a purpose-driven leader? Is that easy to learn, or is it something that you probably start out with and you're just bringing it more to the surface?
I think it's more that you know, you hear all these people say, well, you need to figure out your big why, or, you know, what is your main purpose for life? And I find that people, if they don't know what that is, they're really going to struggle. And it's not really something that you can tell them what it is, but you can lead them through a process to kind of figure it out. And so, you know, what I try to help them do is I ask a lot of questions about kind of what, you know, what their current strengths, values, and motivations are, and try to help them kind of envision, okay, what it is you're actually trying to accomplish, because often they will find when they start looking at what they're trying to accomplish, they'll find in that their purpose. It's not an easy process to go through, and not everybody can get there without some help.
Okay, well, I'm a big believer in getting help from people. Sometimes it's not that easy to ask, but I am a big believer in that.
I agree. It is.
Yeah. Okay, so a question. What's your vision for women in business? You know, is it any different than, you know, is there a male-female difference, or do you treat everybody, you know, the same? Or, what's the vision?
Well, I don't think you ever treat everybody the same, because everybody has their own needs, their own motivations. You know, we're not all motivated the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And unless we can find what motivates us, you know, we're going to struggle, and we're not going to be able to help the people we're trying to help. You know, some people, like I mentioned, are very motivated by competition. Other people are not motivated that way. You think about a sales team where, you know, a lot of these sales teams, they're looking at, you know, well, I'm going to, you know, give you an extra $100 if you hit 10 more sales. And that competition may demotivate someone else that's not motivated that way. And so as a leader or as a business owner, you have to understand what it is that motivates people in order to get the best out of them. And so the process I take these teams through is helping the leader articulate their vision, what it is they're trying to accomplish, and then get the people that work for them, I don't want to say bought into it, because that sounds like it's, you know, kind of manipulating them a little bit, but it's more along the lines of helping the leader articulate the vision, because often they carry it around in their head and they don't tell anybody. And then they don't understand why people don't line up to help them.
Right. And then they also, you know, if they don't ask what motivates you, then how do they get you on a clear path anyway?
Exactly. That's exactly right. And so a lot of entrepreneurs are really, well, they're all really smart people. They have great ideas. They're very driven. And they know what they want. And oftentimes they can't articulate to their teams. And, you know, they don't understand why, you know, their biggest issues are around people.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of where I can come in and help them is, okay, well, I can help them work through communication issues. You know, we work through a process of kind of helping everybody understand what their communication processes are, help them understand each other better, communicate better. And as a result, we sit together, we create goals, and you know, some of the teams that I've worked with have actually increased their sales by 42%. Over a year. Another one told me he had doubled the size of his company, number of employees in a year, just to handle the amount of work he had coming in. So, you know, those are all good things, you know, to hear. I know Melinda mentioned earlier on the show that, you know, she was really motivated by hearing that she was a small part of those things. And so I agree with her in that, because it is motivating to know that you've been a small part in someone else's success.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, it's interesting. When I was in the height of my selling career, one of the managers, and she was definitely a manager, not a leader, the way she demotivated me was telling me how everybody else was making their sales. You know, she would call me 6 o'clock every morning, and she would start screaming at me and saying, this is how you do it, and this is how you do it. Now, I was the number one agent in the entire company, and yet she was still screaming at me. And so that was very demotivating. But the other thing is, when you talk about motivating people, you know, again, as the number one person, I won every contest. But I got things like tickets to NASCAR and golf clubs and fishing poles and tackle boxes, and because they never asked me what motivated me. And I think that I wouldn't have worked any harder, but the reward would have been so much sweeter if it was something that motivated me. So it's great that you're actually going in there and discovering what people are, you know, what they need, what they're looking for, and how to get them on the right path.
Yeah, I agree. And it can make so much difference to a small business because, you know, as you know, as an entrepreneur, that hiring that first employee is a difficult thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
First, you got to turn loose, right, give up a little control, which most of us struggle with, honestly.
Yeah.
And then secondly, you're trusting a little bit of your baby to someone else.
Right? That's right.
Your baby, you birthed it, and so you, hiring the right people is hard for them. The giving up control is hard for them, and then when it doesn't work out, you know, they either draw back in and say, well, you know, I'm just not going to try that again, I'll just not get big, and so their own inability to hire, motivate, you know, and get these people kind of working in the right direction is their limiting factor in their growth of their business.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So let's talk about the fact that we always hear that wishing and hoping, I'm hoping it's going to work, I'm wishing it's going to work. We know that's not a plan for business. But yet a lot of entrepreneurs still say, oh, God, I hope this works. I really wish this will work. Why is having a plan so important?
Well, you know, you can have a dream, but if you don't have a plan, it really is just that. It's just a dream. And if you don't set goals, if you don't figure out what you want the end result to be, you know, you're going to end up with a pile, so to speak. It's not an accident to be happy, and it's not an accident to have success. You have to take the steps to get there. And so a lot of times people will, you know, they sit around and they blame other people. They want to blame the government, or they want to blame the economy, or they want to blame the Democrats. You know, you hear this all the time. And it's one of the most pervasive myths in American culture, according to Jack Canfield, that someone else is responsible for creating our happiness and our success. And there really is only one person responsible, and it's ourselves.
Absolutely.
So if we can envision what it is we're trying to accomplish, you know, starting with the end in mind, as, you know, Covey would tell us,
mm-hmm.
then we can determine what the steps are we need to take. And so, you know, the process I like to go through is basically let's envision what we want our life to look like. you know, what is it that we really want it to look like as far as our life is concerned? And I start with life because you want your business to support the lifestyle you want to have. You don't want your life to have to support your business. And so if I want my lifestyle to be I'm going to travel the world or, you know, go to Europe 6 months of the year or whatever my choice is, then I probably better not buy a fast food restaurant that expects me to be there every day.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so the type of life I want to have should direct the type of business I'm going to have and not the other way around. And so that's the first part is figure out what my life vision is. And then the second is, okay, what kind of business or career will support that?
Mm-hmm.
And then once I know that, then I can, you know, start out with, okay, what can I do in the next 90 days to move me toward this thing? Because if I'm unhappy with where I currently am, then if I don't take any steps, 90 days from now, I'll be in the same spot. So I start out with 90 days because it's a short enough period of time that I can see those results happen and get, you know, a little momentum going and then come back in and look and see, okay, how did I do? Where do I need to make an adjustment? And then from there, from the 90-day, you know, 3 to 5 things can I focus on, what are the specific activities I need to be taking every day? And I'm a big planner, as you could probably figure out.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, every Sunday afternoon I kind of sit down and say, okay, on this next week, what are the things I need to accomplish in order to move forward on where I'm trying to go? And I come up with that list. It's not usually a very long list, but if I've made the list, I know I'm going to check them off. If I don't make the list, my week ends up not being as productive as it needs to be. Then, you know, and the last step is you're going to learn. You're going to make mistakes. Part of learning is failing, and that's sometimes painful for us to hear as well. But we look at how we've succeeded, what we failed at, and then we adjust. You know, it's a journey. It's not necessarily a destination. And then finally, who's holding you accountable? I think you mentioned on the earlier part of the show that, you know, entrepreneurs are often out after the next shiny object.
Mm-hmm.
I call it the squirrel syndrome.
Right, definitely.
Yeah, exactly. And so if no one is holding them accountable, then they are going to get off the right track and be off doing something they shouldn't be doing and look up and wonder, well, how come I didn't achieve that goal? So the accountability is a really kind of a dirty word in a lot of areas, but it is important in order to achieve what we're trying to accomplish.
Okay, so I'm going to play devil's advocate. I'm a solopreneur, and nobody, you know, there's nobody else that works in my company. It's just me, and I have my plan in my head about where I want to be and whatever, but why do I really need a business plan? Really, seriously, why do I need one? Because it's just me, and who cares? There's nobody else but me. No one's going to see it. So why do I really need a plan? Because that's what I hear all the time. There's no one else in my company. I don't need to do this. Why do you have to have a plan?
Well, there's two parts of the plan. One is the vision, figuring out where you're going to go and the goals. And you know, part of accountability is just checking things off the list, right? If I check it off, I know I did it. If I don't have a plan, it's kind of like when you go to – if you're going to take a trip to Chicago – right. If I'm going to decide to go to Chicago, what's the first thing I'm going to do? I'm going to look at the map. I'm going to start out where I am, and I'm going to plot my route to get there. If I don't have a plan, I might end up in Seattle.
Right.
So even as a solopreneur, if you haven't at least taken the time to think through where you want to be, then how will you ever know you got there?
Right, right.
And the second part of the plan is your budget. A dirty word, you know, oh, my goodness, I don't want to have a budget. Well, what people don't realize is that in corporate America, the budget process is an annual occurrence, and all a budget really does is tell your money where it's going to go. And when I'm running without a budget, and I've been guilty of this because, you know what, it's a pain to have to sit down and figure out where I want to put things. But if I don't have it, then I look up at the end of the month or at the end of the year, and I didn't achieve my financial goals.
Mm-hmm.
So those two pieces are really important, even for a solopreneur.
Right. And I agree with you. I was just, you know, trying to do the other side, because when I started my company, I didn't do a business plan or anything. I did every mistake you could possibly think of, and even wrote a book about it, about how many mistakes you can possibly make.
Okay. Well, there you go. You had good come out of failure, so that's good.
Well, you know, and you learn from every single one. But I want to ask a question. When you build a business, it's important to know what makes your business unique, because there could be 500 coaches out there or whatever. So what makes Accelerate Impact your company? What makes you so unique? Why do people, you know, flock to you? What do you bring to the table that maybe somebody else doesn't, or maybe it's just a little different? So what makes you unique?
Well, that's a really good question. I think what makes me unique over some of the coaches that I've seen and some of the people that have worked with, the entrepreneurs that I've worked with, is I have a really strong empathy gene, if you will. I have a way of putting myself in their position and understanding how they're feeling. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, and I'm not a hard driving coach. I am, you know, I'm the hugging coach, if you will. Some people just need somebody to reassure them that they're on the right track and that they're getting where they need to go. I'm really good at working with teams. These teams that I've worked with, you know, I've stayed in contact with them over time and kind of check in to see how they're doing. You know, what makes me unique? That's a very difficult question, but I think it is because I truly care about them, and they know that.
Right, so you're not in it for the money. That's the point. That's the point, and that's what you were trying to say before. You don't go in for money first. You go in to help people. You go in to bring value, and that's the point. That makes you unique.
Absolutely.
Okay, now I know you just launched a book with our amazing producer, Tony Gambone. So tell us
about
your chapter. Yes, I know, and I have the book here. I ordered it the day I was supposed to and have it right here. So tell us about your chapter.
Well, thank you. Well, thank you first for ordering the book, because, as you know, it hit international bestseller on Amazon.
I know that. How exciting.
That was really exciting. My chapter is called Escaping Success to Find Happiness. And I wrote the chapter because it was the advice I wanted to have, or the advice I wished I had had when I first started out, and that is that success does not always equal happiness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in my career, you know, I did everything I was supposed to do. I, you know, got married, had a kid, you know, in the right order. throw that out there. You know, went to college, got a job, moved up in my career, and woke up one day and realized that, you know what, it just wasn't meaningful. And, you know, people often don't even really know what they want. They know what they don't want.
Right.
You know, they know that they don't want this or they don't want that, and they focus on that, kind of like it's the whack-a-mole game, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want that. Wham, knock that down. And so what they do is they focus on the wrong things, and they end up in a career or job that's just not satisfying. Maybe they make a lot of money, you know, and they end up trapped. Success is a trap. You know, you end up in those situations, and you wake up one day and you realize, I can't get out of this because now I've got obligations. I've got a family. I've got kids in college. You know, got all those things that keep me in something that's not making me happy. So what people have to do is, when they figure that out, then they can start to take those small steps that we talked about earlier. You know, if I'm not happy in the career I'm in, what do I need to do to fix that? You know, do I need to go back to school?
Mm-hmm.
You know, do I just need to change jobs? Maybe I don't want a job. That was the thing that I woke up to realize, was I had a job. I could have gone to find another job, but that wasn't what I wanted. I wanted more than that. And so So anyway, I was excited to be, you know, a part of Tony's book. I think that, you know, the purpose in writing the chapter was just to help people know that they can make a difference, make a change if they want to, and that their key to happiness really is in their ability to make a difference in the world. If they're not making a difference, then they're just going through the motions.
Right, absolutely, and it's not worth it. So how can our listeners connect with you?
They can email me at becky@escapingsuccess.com. They can go to the website, accelerateimpactteamsbreakthrough.com, and those words are all separated by hyphens.
Okay.
I'm also on Facebook and LinkedIn and Twitter as Accelerate Teams, and they can call my phone if they just want to chat. That number is 713-412-8718.
Awesome. Well, Ms. Becky, you have so much to share, and I want to thank you for taking all this information and making it bite-sized for us to consume. And I do hope you'll come back and continue the conversation with us again.
I'd love to, Judy. Thank you so much for having me on your show today. It's been awesome.
Thank you. It's awesome having you. And we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, I'm going to give you a few ideas and some strategies that entrepreneurs follow to be successful. This is Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio, and we will be right back.
Live at Choice, where your imagination becomes your reality. If you can imagine it, it's possible. If you can believe it, it's yours. We get it. You're done with the way it is now. You're finished with all the frustration around why you feel stuck and your life isn't working. Imagine what your life would be like if you could have all the answers and see new possibilities. We at Live at Choice choose to make a difference. Live at Choice has developed a proven process and a series of questions that lead participants to the answers they seek, gaining new understanding and self-awareness for both your personal and professional life. If you're ready to get to the life you want, contact us today. Visit liveatchoice.com to get started.
Are you a sales professional stuck in a rut? Are you a sales manager trying to direct women in your company? In her book, Selling in a Skirt, Judy Hoberman offers invaluable and proven insights into how gender differences can affect sales outcomes and the tools and strategies to drive real results in today's marketplace. Judy offers a suite of workshops, seminars, and coaching programs that complement her highly successful book. Her 30 years in sales have given her both the knowledge and a sense of humor about the gender differences that we should all understand and embrace instead of feeling unable to communicate. Judy's humorous stories about how men and women sell, manage, recruit, and supervise differently will enlighten you in learning how both genders can support each other's successes in a more productive way. Find out more by going to sellinginaskirt.com.
Welcome back to Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio. So let's wrap up the show with some ideas about successful women entrepreneurs. Now, if you remember these, your why will be right in front of you, and that will add to your level of success. First, fill a need. Whether you do an official market research or a small survey, make sure what you have to offer is something that people actually both want and need and will pay money for it. Next, have your resources in place. No one knows all the answers, so make sure that you have those people in place so you're able to give the correct solutions. Also, you need to make a commitment. Is your business a real business or is it a hobby? Make the commitment to build your business and do what it takes to make it happen. Play to your strengths. These are the things that only you can do, and there are things that you need to take off your plate. So know what your strengths are and do those to the best of your ability, and take the other stuff and give it away. Also, don't think you're too old. You're never too old to start. I started my company Selling in a Skirt at age 55, and others start even later. You bring a different level of experience, so share, share, share. You need to listen to your customers. Ask your customers questions and listen to what they're looking for. If your product or service is not exactly what they need, you might have to tweak it a bit. You also want to invest in yourself so you can continue growing. Hire a coach, go to a conference, do something that will get yourself to the next level, and be open to opportunities. You need to see what opportunities are presented to you. They don't always come gift-wrapped. Worse yet, some are really just distractions, so be aware of the difference. And finally, give back. No matter where you are in your business, there are those that are not at the same level. Consider being a mentor and give back. There's nothing like it, and you will learn just as much from your mentee as they will learn from you. And I want to thank you all for tuning in every Monday at noon Central, where we share some extraordinary guests, some ideas for your business, and ways to stand out as the amazing women that you are. Make sure you stay connected with us, and remember, women want to be treated equally, not identically. Until next week, this is Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning in to Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman, brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. A special thanks to all of our sponsors. If you'd like to be a sponsor or a guest, please visit toughtalkradionetwork.com.